Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word which we read this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and that your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I remember a comic. I thought it was pretty funny. I remember seeing, I think it was a Far Side comic, I'm not sure. But anyway, it was a comic. A lady had her car in at the mechanic, and she tells the mechanic, "I was driving down the road, and felt a bump, and the car stopped." So the mechanic looks under the hood, and there's nothing. Just a big empty hole where the engine and battery and everything should be. A car without an engine is kind of useless. There's probably a few things you could find to do with it, but it's certainly not going to accomplish the purpose for which it was built. God reminds us in our text this morning that a church without Jesus is like a car without an engine. You might find a use for the church. A church can do and accomplish a lot of things, but it's not doing the thing it's supposed to be doing if Jesus isn't there. As we celebrate the Reformation this morning, we are reminded of the emptiness and the pointlessness, the Jesuslessness of the church at the time of Luther. Sure, they had the name of Jesus, and they talked about Jesus, and they had crucifixes up on the altar and around their necks, but they didn't really trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. They were like a car without an engine. And we remember, therefore, how God, by his grace and through Martin Luther, brought Jesus back into the church. Not just the name of Jesus, but the forgiveness that is ours through his death and resurrection. There are many who celebrate the Reformation, not only Lutherans and other Protestants, but even atheists. Even secular historians recognize the Reformation as a turning point and rejoice in what was accomplished there, but of course for the wrong reasons. They see Martin Luther as a revolutionary who championed the revolution against the power and the tyranny of the Pope. But they fail to see the real gift that God gave us through him, and that is the restoration of the preaching of that everlasting gospel and the proclamation that our sins are forgiven without our works through Jesus who died for our sins. This is why Luther is called a reformer, not a revolutionary. Because he didn't seek to start something new, but to bring back the true church and to bring Jesus back as the heart and the center of our worship. This is also what God teaches us in our text, in the third commandment. This is what the third commandment is all about. It's not about making sure you're in church on Sunday, but it's about making sure that Jesus is the heart and the center of your worship and your life. It's kind of funny that the third commandment, our text, doesn't mention Jesus once. And yet, he's clearly there, as we're going to see. And it's clearly teaching us to keep Jesus at the heart and the center of our life. On the other hand, the church at the time of Luther mentioned the name of Jesus all the time, and yet he clearly wasn't the center of their worship. As so we pray that Jesus, that God would help us as well to bring Jesus back, to make sure that he is the heart and the center of our worship and our lives. The third commandment is probably one of the most misunderstood of all the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does that mean? Many people, there are many who assume it means that we should worship on Saturday. There's a whole church, the Seventh-day Adventists, that is built primarily around that one premise, that we should be worshiping on Saturday and not on Sunday. There are others who say, well, it means that we should worship on Sunday because Sunday is the new Sabbath. Sunday has replaced Saturday. And there are still others who would say that, well, you can pick whatever day, you just need to pick a day and worship, and that's keeping the Sabbath. They're all wrong. Because they all fail to see that the Sabbath isn't a day, but is Jesus. And it doesn't matter what day we worship. What matters is that when we worship, Jesus is the heart and the center of our worship and our lives. It's better not to come to church and keep Jesus in your life than to come to a church that doesn't keep Jesus, that doesn't preach and proclaim Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. Best to come to a church that does keep Jesus at the center. That's the best. I don't want you to take this as an excuse not to come to church next Sunday, but to make sure you're coming to a church where Jesus is the heart and the proclamation. Jesus reminds us, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For any of those of you who may have forgotten, that's what Sabbath means. It means rest. And that's what Jesus is telling us in that passage, that the Sabbath is no longer a day, but is coming to him. We keep the Sabbath when we come to Jesus. Colossians 2:16-17, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. These things are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Paul tells us there in Colossians that the Sabbath and things like it in the Old Testament were only a holding, a placeholder. They were only there to keep the place. They were only a shadow. But the real Sabbath is Jesus. The day is an empty shell now because the substance is of Christ. Hebrews 4:8, the writer reminds us, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. And so there, the writer of Hebrews makes it clear that the rest that the people of God received when they went into the promised land, the rest that they received in the Ten Commandments, was not a real rest, was not the true rest, but only a reminder of the rest that was to come. The rest that was to come, he speaks of in verse 7, today, after such a long time. Today, if you will hear his voice. So again, according to that verse, who has received the rest of the Sabbath? Those who have heard his voice. Those who hear the forgiveness of sins. Those who hear of the death of Jesus Christ and rejoice in it. To remember the Sabbath day means to keep Jesus in your life and in your worship. That's what the church at the time of Luther had forgotten, wasn't it? Even though they worshiped on Sunday, even though they went to church on Sunday, they had returned to the Old Testament. Because they didn't make the rest and the worship about Jesus. They made it about coming to church. They made it about doing penance. They made it about touching the relics of the saints. They took away the rest that Jesus had come to give us, and they put in its place works, things that you must do. Paul writes about such people in 2 Timothy 3:5. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, the car looked great on the outside, missing the engine. It was missing Jesus. God makes it clear that in our text, God makes it clear that the Sabbath is not about our work, but about what Jesus has done for us. If you look at our text, verses 13 and 14, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. God, of course, is referencing creation and the 6 days of creation followed by the day that he rested, but he's making it clear to us that this is a reminder of our lives. The 6 days remind us that the things of this world are things we have to work for, but the things of heaven are things that are given to us through Jesus. In 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright invented the world's first airplane. And they spent the next 15-some years fighting in court over the patents to that airplane. It got so bad, there was 12 major, not even counting all the lawsuits, but just the major lawsuits, 12 major lawsuits just in the U.S. It got so bad that Orville eventually in 1916 sold his rights to the patent to the Wright Martin Corporation, seemingly just so that he could get a break from the endless legal battles and go back to tinkering in his workshop. They had to work hard to invent that airplane to begin with. That's one of the things that set them apart from others who were trying to invent the airplane, is their dedication to studying the aerodynamics first. And they had to work hard to invent that airplane to begin with, but then they had to work even harder to keep the patent. Everything that we have in this life requires work, hard work. We have to work to keep bread on the table. We have to work to keep a house over our heads. We have to work hard to get good grades in school, right? We have to work hard to stay fit and healthy. Even our relationships, our marriages, require hard work. If we don't continue to work at these things, we lose them. Everything that we have in this life requires work. God acknowledges that when he says, 6 days, you have to work hard. But not on the seventh. Not when it comes to the things that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. We don't have to work hard for those things. Those things are a rest from the Lord. Those things Jesus has worked hard to give to us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He didn't come so that we could work hard for him, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the true Sabbath, the true rest, because he removes the demands of the law. He tells us, you no longer have to be perfect. You no longer have to fulfill the law in order to gain salvation, but I will do it for you. That's how the Church of Luther's time failed to keep the Sabbath, isn't it? Because they removed that rest that we receive in Jesus and put in its place our works. Saying so many Hail Marys and confessing your sins and doing penance. If you do all these things, they say, and you keep working at it hard and then maybe spend 1,000 years in purgatory, you'll eventually work hard enough to get the gifts of God. Jesus says, no. On the seventh day, you will do no work. I have given you the gifts of heaven. Worship isn't about the work that we do for God, but it's about what Jesus has done for us, as we read in our epistle reading, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, we receive the Sabbath rest. No more mopping floors. No more laundry to do, right? No more supper to cook. No more toys to put away, spiritually speaking. You still have to cook supper for your children. But spiritually speaking, there is nothing left for us to do. Jesus has accomplished it all and has given it to us freely by his grace. God reminds the Israelites and us about this in verse 15 of our text. And remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath. God set them free when they were slaves in Egypt. They didn't set themselves free by their hard work, but God delivered them through Moses and through his miracles. In the same way, he wants us to remember that he has set us free from sin so that we no longer have to strive and work to accomplish the demands of the law, but are given that rest of knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we will go to heaven because Jesus died for us. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And we keep the third commandment when we remember Jesus, come to him for that rest and the peace that he alone can give us, and rejoice in that free gift of his grace. Amen. Our agent, please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.